You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, guys? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, I am one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News and over at 8.9 seconds. Today is the worst drum roll ever. Fan show number three, woohoo! We have four people this time, and I don't know if this is for sure. Me and Adam are kind of talking about it, but we're probably done taking people for the fan shows. We have enough people for one more for Adam next week. So I guess if you maybe tweeted us like really soon, we'll have you on. But it was pretty hard to coordinate all these and get everybody in, and I think we got everybody who wanted to be on. So this is probably the last one you'll hear me hosting, and then Adam will host one more next week. But yeah, they're really fun. We got four people coming up, and I'll do a little intro outro in between all of them just so you know what's coming up and what's going on. And you'll see why I have to do an outro on the last one once it's over. But yeah, let's just jump right in to fan show number two. So thank you all for listening, and let's get started. All right, guys, another fan show coming in. We're really enjoying doing these, and it's fun to just see different perspectives. But a new one here, and a guy that has been on the show before, for those of you longtime listeners, after the third game of the year last year against the Heat that I went to with my friend Robert, he came on and talked about the hustle of the team. But this time, he is doing the fan pod. So, Robert, how are you, man?
What's up, Tony? Doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. It's good to be back.
Robert is less active on Twitter, as in not tweeting, but he does like stuff and all that. And he has this unique and similar experience to myself because we are the same age. And one of his memories is going to be from a game we went to together on my birthday one year. So that's a good one. But as we start all these, Robert, I would like you to tell everyone how you became a Pacers fan.
So I became a Pacers fan being born in Indiana, I guess. We used to go to Pacers games, just me and my dad, a lot when I was a kid. And so he had season tickets for a long time, so we just go to that whenever we could. And yeah, I fell in love with the team through that. So yeah, that's how I started being a Pacers fan, like everybody else in Indiana.
Yeah, I feel like most people our age have unique Pacers fandom experiences because of the brawl when we were so young.
A little bit. That actually helped my fanhood of the Pacers.
It helped you?
I loved it.
I woke up
that morning and my mom goes, "Hey, the Pacers got in a huge fight." I was like, what? Turned on SportsCenter, and that was, like, the big news. It was awesome.
It was the news. Man, I didn't like the team for a while because of that. Like, from the Steven Jackson era until he got traded for Troy Murphy and stuff. That was, like, my least favorite time of the Pacers so far. But that's a good one. I mean, I grew up here, too. It's just hard with the brawl to get really engaged with the team as a kid. So I think that now they're finally getting back all the people from our generation into the fan thing. But as I ask everyone else, what is your favorite memory of the Pacers? You can do as many as you want here.
Okay, so of the Pacers, like actual playing, was back in 07. We were actually together on this was a school band trip. We were terrible, man. But we had fun. So we got a band trip to see the Pacers take on the Spurs, and we're like way up in the nosebleeds. And we could still kind of see everything going on, and it was just like a tight game the whole way. And it was down to the wire, last second. The Spurs had gone up one, and it's looking pretty grim. And then next thing you know, like Jamal Tinsley just takes it to the hole with a last second shot and wins the game. The place went nuts, and it was absolutely fantastic. So I think that was my favorite Pacers playing memory of all time.
Yeah, that was a fun time. And I remember, I don't remember. I actually looked this up afterwards because I've talked about this on the show before. But they actually clinched a playoff spot that game.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Well, Tim Duncan scored and put him up with like 5 seconds left. And then Tinsley scored over him with like 1.1 seconds to go. So, yeah, I do remember that. That was exciting. People like don't believe me. It was on my birthday. It was April Fool's Day. It was quite the Jamal Tinsley experience. Do you have any other moments you remember from watching the team when we were younger?
When we were younger, like a couple moments, but like nothing stands out as much as the Tinsley dunk. Honestly, I think this year was probably one of my favorite years to be a Pacers fan because like we were just written off right at the beginning of the season and ended up making the playoffs, taking the Cavs the full games, and like really being a real threat in the West. East, fuck.
Gotta bleep that out later. That'll be fun. Yeah, this year was really fun. This year was the most gripping for me, just because, well, besides the, I guess that's not true. The conference finals were very gripping, but this is the first time that I was, like, pumped the whole season. You know, I feel like the conference finals teams, it was just like the Heat games were it for me, but this year was super engaging, so that's a good one. Do you have anything you want to hear talked about on the show that you've never heard talked about before? This doesn't have to be a basketball thing, but it probably should be a basketball thing.
Good question. I think that this needs to be fired out to the rest of the listening crew, too. Like, any listeners out there, if they want something talked about, they should be able to tweet you
that's
out.
That's what the fan shows are. Robert apparently doesn't know what the fan shows are. But
I have not heard the first fan show announcement. So, yeah, this is the first time for me.
Well, me and Robert played against Trayvon Blewett one time. Now, New
once.
Orleans
we did
Trayvon
once.
Blewett.
I scored on Trayvon
Blewett
once.
In eighth grade. We lost by about 35 points that game. A kid split his head open in the gym.
That was bad.
It was really bad, but that was our experience playing together against NBA players, so maybe when Trayvon comes to Indiana, we can
maybe
put that one on the memories list as my alarm goes off to remind me to record with someone else after this. But yeah, I remember playing against Trayvon in 8th grade. That was pretty funny. Did we play against anyone else who ever made it anywhere? Or
win
anywhere? I don't think so.
I don't
oh, you were in Champions
so.
Academy
yeah,
with...
I was in Champions with Mike Conley for...
And Greg Oden.
And Greg Oden for a little bit.
Wow.
I did see them go. I didn't play against them. They were like the superstars on the other side of the gym that we didn't get to scrimmage or anything.
You guys are listening to the best two-ball dribbler I know, also.
Former so best two-ball dribbler.
Former
I
best
have not, two-ball dribbler. I have not picked up double basketballs in a long time.
Well, you were as good as Conley for a brief moment there. All right, Robert, thanks for coming on. We're going to shoot over to another guest now.
Appreciate you.
Hope you guys enjoyed hearing Robert talk about being at the game with me to see Jamal Tinsley hit the craziest shot I've ever seen live. Not the craziest shot ever, but one of the best shots I've ever seen live and one of my personal favorite Pacers moments. But now let's move on to the second fan show of the day with CJH Carey. Scary, I can't remember. You'll hear his at in 2 seconds when I start it up. All right, guys, fan shows are back. We're rolling in and we're starting off with a Born Ready crew member and an IU grad, meaning he's far and away the most overqualified fan show participant we've ever had. We got Chris on the other line on Twitter at CHJ Carey. Chris, man, how are you, first of all?
I'm doing well, man. Just on break from work. How about you?
I just got off work, so I understand the hustle today. But I am not in a car, and you are. So
yeah.
I apparently am doing better right now than you. When did you graduate from IU, by the way? I have to ask.
2016, okay. May, not too long ago.
Just a year before me, so wow, we probably overlapped a little bit there. We'll talk about that after recording, but we have to jump into the fan show life the way we always have been. But I actually want to ask about the Born Ready crew first, because this was the first year they had that back, right?
Yeah, so they've had it for a few years now. It was G2 Zone in the past. Turner's Block's been around for a little bit, but this was Born Ready's first year. I think the year before was the Rodney Stuckey zone or something like that. I think he had his own zone.
I wonder where it'll be this year. It's got to be Vic something.
Right, Vic's house or something like that.
Yeah, that'll be cool. But you are a similar age to me then, so your answer will be interesting to me. Why did you become a Pacers fan? What inspired you to be a fan of the team?
Man, you know, I wasn't always in Indiana, so I missed the Reggie Miller years, which, you know, not the best. However, you know, I came to Indiana from Michigan, and I actually saw the Pistons beat the Pacers in the playoffs, and I was a little bit of a fan then, but I didn't live in Michigan that long then. Around 2011, I got my interest peaked, you know, Bulls series in the playoffs. That's when I, like, started tuning in, and they did really well that series. I liked what the team was about, you know, defense first. And then the next year was when I really started watching and following, you know, more, like, most games throughout the season. And then that was 2012 playoffs against the Heat, 7-game series. And that was when it really all, like, that's when I became, like, I'm watching every single game. I'm listening to every single podcast. And so that's when it was born.
Yeah, that's a good time for it to start. That kind of brought me back to it, too, because, you know, they were kind of, like, they had this, like, thuggy vibe when we were younger, you know. Like Jamal Tinsley are kind of drove people my age away. But the Danny Granger bleeding into those conference finals teams were what got a lot of people back in. Those were fun. That was a good time. The second question for every fan, and yours could be good too, because you've sat in the Born Ready section. What is your favorite memory so far as a Pacers fan?
Yes, I'll do a two-parter.
Yes, good.
Favorite memory was tie between 2012 playoffs, being at home watching Roy Hibbert stuff Carmelo. That made me go bananas. And then I was at the Heat game, end of the third quarter, in one of the playoff games. George Hill throws the ball over to Lance Stevenson in the corner for a three, like cross the court, and he hits it, falls down on his butt. There's like an iconic photo out there about that. Him sitting on the ground with that picture behind him, boom baby or whatever. That was one of the coolest moments. Banker's life went insane that game. And then, you know, that kind of ties into this past year, getting into the Born Ready crew. I used that story to get my tickets. And then, you know, meeting Lance and Miles during the auditions, that was nuts. And then there were just so many. I went to probably 39 games. I missed one because of the flu, and I missed one because of the snow. But 39 games over the course of the year, and then playoffs on top of that. So many games, the Pacers this year were insane. And everyone's already talked about the Spurs game. Me and my dad went to that game. Vic hit the shot. I was walking out of the stadium, and there was a guy selling shirts at one of the things. And I was like, Victor's going to make people forget about Paul. And he was like, I don't know, man, I don't know. And then sure enough, the rest of the year, Vic just showed out. I was telling people, when I got the season tickets, I'm like, they're like, why do you want to go this year? They're not going to be any good. And I didn't believe it. I was like, you know what, we got Victor, we're going to be fine. We're going to have two All-Stars. I told everyone that. I didn't think Victor was going to be like that. Miles, you know, injuries, that kind of sucked, but... And then, you know, the Detroit comeback game that's already been mentioned.
Yep.
The Bojan game during the playoffs, that was the loudest it's been since 2012, I think. It was insane.
Yeah, that game was a blast. I was at that one, too. Man, you went to more games than me this year. You're kicking my butt.
Yeah, and there was so many things. I remember anytime a game, we'd have those crazy comebacks, and I'd literally go home and watch Chris and Quinn on the rebroadcast because I, like, couldn't get enough. It's a totally different experience. Because, like, it goes by so fast when you're in the fan stand and you're just screaming your heart out. Andrew was on the last show. Shout out to him. He sat two rows behind me, and, man, we were always just screaming. That place was crazy.
Oh, I love that there's a connection. You guys know each other. That makes
sense.
The Carmelo block, I remember where I was. I was at a restaurant, and I involuntarily stood up. Like, my body just rose.
Right.
Rose. Like, I don't know why. I didn't try to stand up. It just happened.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I was probably the same. I think I was in my apartment, though, and I, like, did a little run around. And it was awesome seeing Roy Hibbert dominate 2012, that series, too. I mean, so many times I was yelling down from the balcony. We were sitting balcony, and I was yelling down, feed Roy, like, feed that man, because he was just killing it. Boomer, I was sitting in the 15th row, and Boomer sniped me with the shirt gun somehow. I had never seen that shirt gun go so high up, and it hit me right in the chest. And I caught it, and I was like, what just happened? So,
the keepsake, that's a great one. Yeah, they always are shooting those shirts up too high for people these days.
Yeah, they usually arc, but this one just, like, directly hit me in the chest. I was stunned.
All right, the last one we always do on these is the hardest one, I feel like, for most people. Well, you can talk about any topic about the Pacers that you want to talk about.
Yeah, so it's something that's been touched on. It's off-season additions. I was listening to... not to plug someone else, but Jay Michael on a different podcast with Nate Duncan, and they were talking about off-season additions. Neither of them were hype about Doug McDermott, and I get that Doug McDermott might not be that good on defense. I wanted your perspective on his defense capability, because we know he can hit the shot, but, like, do you really think he's going to be a windmill on defense?
It depends how they use him, because I think this came out today. I don't know where I talked about this. I feel like McDermott defending forwards is okay. You know, he's kind of bulky in the chest, and
yeah.
You know, he might be okay 15 feet and in, but he's a wing by trade because he's such a good shooter on offense. So he always ends up guarding wings, and he can't do that very well. You know, and he can cut, so, you know, he can move. He just doesn't have, like, the instincts and things, but he's better in the post when he doesn't move as much. So I think on the second unit where he'll be more, it might be a struggle because they don't have a big who can come out on the perimeter and switch him a little bit. But I think if he's playing with Thaddeus Young, who can defend on the perimeter, I think you can mitigate a lot of his problems. No big deal, because you'll just throw McDermott on the four, have Thad guard the three. and roll with it. I think that could work. But I do think in an isolated situation, he's not like maybe not windmill bad, but he's not great. I don't know if I'd trust him to handle any sort of important situation. But I thought Bojan was a windmill last year, and he won a playoff game with defense. So
yeah, no kidding.
I don't want to get too far ahead, but yeah, I think there's ways to mitigate it, but I don't think it's great.
So what about the overall offseason? Did you think it was a success? They were kind of saying that it wasn't. They thought it could have been better. I left feeling that it was super successful. Like, we got pieces on the margins, yeah, but they're going to make us obviously better than last year.
Yeah, they got clearly better. They left themselves an opening still to improve next year or even push it again another year because they have so many expiring guys. They could just do 1 year again. And they're going to show other free agents that they're good and they have most of their core coming back. I don't get how anyone consider it not a success. Like, unless you expected them to get someone amazing, then the problem's even your expectations then, because that was never their plan this offseason. So no, I would never call it a disaster. I have kind of been shocked by reactions like that. And I think the McDermott thing is kind of misthought, you know, of like, oh, they got him so early, like they were dying to get Doug McDermott. It's like, no, they were dying to get a shooter, and McDermott just happened to be who they got. You know, they weren't like clamoring to get him. So Tyreek's the guy they were like, or that player mold who they were like clamoring to get. And I think they got all the player molds that they really wanted, and they replaced, you know, three dudes who went to China with three clear cut NBA players. So I think that you have to consider it a success.
I agree. And so they also cited the Turner Sabonis minutes being such a bad net. However, they didn't touch on the fact that Lance could have been a part of that bad net. And I was like, I was like, oh.
Have me on the shows. Have me on the shows, big name.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I enjoyed the Nate Duncan when he hopped on with you. That was a good show.
I can't believe he did that.
Yeah, he was doing that around the league, I think, a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really fun. I might have to try to have him on again. That was a good time. You got anything else?
No, I think that's it, man. Thanks for having me on. Long time listener. I was listening when Tom was the host, and then you guys,
you are
Youngblood came on, and I was like, it's cool. Yeah, I listen to any and all podcast Pacers. Like,
I don't know how Tom had time to do this with. I see him at every game. He's at everything.
Really? Yeah, I've never seen him in person, but yeah, he was awesome. I loved his writing too. Indy Cornrows. That was always good. Now they got Caitlin Cooper out there spinning out the work. She's awesome too.
She's my favorite to read. If you're listening and you don't read Caitlin, I got nothing for you.
I would have to agree. 8.9 Seconds Crew, awesome Twitter follows all across the board, and then all the work on there too.
Except for Ben Gibson, he sucks. LOL.
Yeah, I can't say much about him.
So you're at CHJ Carey on Twitter. For those that want to go check him out, Chris tweets a lot of funny stuff at me. I always love that. So
yeah, shout out to the Pacers group chat too. We're dying for the season to start. We're talking about the dumbest stuff right now. I cannot wait till basketball season gets back up and going.
Ooh, if one person asks you if they can be in the Pacers group chat, this was a success. All right, man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
All righty.
So I loved having Chris on and hearing about the Born Ready crew connection for him and Andrew from last week. That's why we do the fan shows, just to like connect you guys. And I'm sure they're in a group chat together, but I just like hearing these stories and like hearing the connections all you have. And I hope you guys are interacting on Twitter a bit more from all these and enjoying, you know, of course, hearing some stories about the Pacers. Next up, we have the youngest fan show participant, and AJ. AJ is in high school, I believe. So you get ready for the young experience. AJ is coming right up. Guys, we got another fan here to keep this rolling. We got a long one here with four people, but I didn't prep, so I'm going to embarrass myself by starting here and say I didn't pick a name. I didn't say, oh, how do I say your name or anything? So I'll just do your Twitter handle, then you can say your own name. It's at AJREESE1313. I'm guessing it's just AJ, but I didn't ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What's up, AJ? How are you?
I'm all right. AJ isn't too hard to get, but my buddies call me all kinds of nicknames with that, so I can see how it can get misconstrued.
Yeah, it was the 1313 threw me off too, man.
Well, my favorite number is 13, and so 13 is normally taken, so I have to do 13-13.
Is that a Paul George thing?
No, my brothers are all older, both older, and my oldest brother played football, and he was really good, and his thing was 13, And so growing up, I always loved the number 13.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's not your Pacers story because it's not Paul George, but I still want to know how you became a fan of the team.
Well, living in Indiana, it's kind of hard not to be. I mean, I'm not necessarily a bandwagoner. Like, I've never been a fan of people who just go whoever's good. And I have Colts and Pacers stuff all over my room right now just because I grew up and watching them play. And I remember, like, the first game I ever went to was – like back when, what's his name? Danny Granger was like somewhat in his prime. And that was a fun one. But like ever since then, like I've gone to playoff games here and then. And so, I mean, I haven't really been like that strong of a Pacers fan. Like I've been admiring from afar, but I've gotten more into it lately.
Yeah, now's a good time to get into it. I feel like. I feel like half the city's on the same path as you, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, it's always good to have more people like the Pacers because with the amount of publicity that we get, it's nice to have some around town.
The low amount of publicity, which I think we're going to talk about later considering when we play. Yeah, I think that this will be one of their best – this is just random, but we haven't talked about it on the show. I think this will be one of their best attendance years in a while just because you know they were good last year. They had a good playoff series. They got better, like – people love Vic. I think that they might actually crack the top 20 in attendance. Having a small stadium and being a small market would be huge for them.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I plan on going to a lot more games this year than I did last year.
What I like to hear. Hit me up when you go. I like meeting people, all that kind of stuff. That's for everyone, not just you, but I'm talking to you specifically. Mm-hmm. So my follow-up question always to that is, since you became a fan in the mid-2000s, one of the we had Gary on who started being a fan when they were playing the Kentucky Colonels. Meanwhile, you are in our younger group, so your memories might be either more vivid or just different. You have some favorite memories from your time watching the team?
I definitely have two.
Okay.
One was Pacers series versus the Heat and LeBron and Wade and all them. I remember, I don't know if it was a series or if it was just during that whole era, I went to a game and LeBron and Wade were flopping left and right and the whole stadium like had this amazing hatred towards the Heat, and like this guy in my section kept trying to start a chant against LeBron with multiple cuss words in it, and he couldn't get it started. And so then everybody was saying he's a flopper and stuff, and that was just one of the best because everybody chanting the same thing and that feeling of like being together plus everybody hating LeBron was amazing. And then for my birthday, which was in April, I got a bunch of tickets to the playoffs versus the Cavs.
Nice.
Like we had 6 tickets for the game 3. And we were sitting up there as me and my whole family and one of my buddies. And just that entire game was amazing. And just seeing Bojan go off. And then there's two guys who were next to me who were – like immigrants, I guess. Like they said they weren't from the United States, but I don't know exactly where they're from. And like that's
foreigners. We'll go with foreigners.
Yeah, sure. And they were chanting stuff in some foreign language that I had no clue what it was. And then they kept just yelling a bunch of cuss words that they did know, and it was hilarious because I was literally on the very top row by where the curtains like go back or whatever.
Yeah.
So, literally in the nosebleeds, and these guys were just yelling all these words, and having Bojan go off in that whole entire atmosphere was just amazing, especially being there with my whole family and my buddy.
That was a fun game. I was at that one too. I've told this story a million times, but I remember they opened the skyline at halftime. Was that on your side or the opposite side?
Yeah, I was literally like as far right of the skyline as you can get, like that very corner. It was okay, me and then those two foreigner guys, and then that was the end of our row.
Yeah. I remember the skyline opened and they were down by like 15 or 16. And I was like, okay, if they come back, it's because they opened the skyline. And then they did. Got to keep it open the whole series now.
This is random, but me and my buddy were talking like how we looked around like behind where the curtain goes down or whatever.
Yeah.
And we were looking, it was like, people could definitely hide down there because it was like a good little area. And we're like, I wonder how long people could hide there. But then again, probably not very long because I'm sure they search every little bit for people.
I've never been up there before, like where the curtain is and stuff. So you have a better experience up there than I have. That was the game they had the yellow shirts, right? I remember I was trying to get one of those for Grant Apsat because he tweeted that he wanted one, and I couldn't find one. I'm like running around the entire stadium. I did laps up in the top and the bottom, and then like about to start the pressers. I'm like sprinting through the stadium. It was good times. Oh, I didn't end up finding one. They got all of them out of there.
There was a Cavs fan at that game who sat in front of us, and for some reason he had a huge wad of ones in his pocket. And anytime LeBron made a shot, he just held it up and yelled, "Straight cash, baby," every time. He made a big deal that his middle name was Love, too. So like, he loved Kevin Love.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was hilarious.
That is awesome. Yeah, those playoff games are a hoot. I forgot. You told me. Oh, yeah. The Heat era was just a blast for everybody. Just because it was always like that tiny chance, like, my gosh, we could make the finals this year.
Yeah, and then didn't happen.
But, I mean, losing to LeBron, it's what the Pacers do, right? So yeah. That's good. I like those answers. I like reliving the Beatles and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And now for my favorite part, because I don't get to prep and I have to pretend like I'm ready for every question.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about? What do you want to be discussed on this episode of Locked On Pacers?
All right. So you said this is going to air tomorrow, right?
It is going to air tomorrow.
Okay. So
if you're listening, you know that we recorded this on Tuesday now.
Yeah. So for everyone listening, we are figuring out that the new 2K game will like feature a campaign mode, and it'll have like it heavily set in Fort Wayne with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, which is really cool. And I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that, especially since they made it seem like it was just some redneck town with fields everywhere and nothing much else.
Yeah, I got to go with three things here. Number one, and most generic, cool that 2K is putting the G League in the game. They didn't have any of those teams last year, and I think it's I don't know if you'll be able to use them or if any of the players with likenesses will be in there or anything like that. But I do like that they're starting to bleed in the G League being in there. Number two, it's even cooler that the G League team that we know for sure is in there is the Mad Ants. They tweeted about it themselves on their own account. And that's cool. You can see it. They have all this stuff. But the trailer, so the premise for those of you that didn't watch it or are older or whatever, is that you start in China and you're really good and you get to work your way up to the NBA through the G League. And that's what this whole campaign is. It's like a story that you get to play out. And they cut to the Fort Wayne part. And first you're in the locker room with some dudes in Mad Ants jerseys. Then you're in the court. Then it cuts to you at a bus stop. And this bus stop looks like it's in the wild, wild west. You're outside on a road with no edges. There's a sign behind you that says Indiana 41 bus stop. The only other thing in the picture is like power lines and there's like a tumbleweed on the left. It looks so like a doohickey out of nowhere. Then it cuts to the GM of the team you play for. He's standing in front of a cornfield. So that is Fort Wayne in this 2K trailer. And I would like to point out that I tweeted this today, first of all. Fort Wayne has a bigger population than NBA City, Salt Lake, where the Jazz play. So the fact that they portrayed it as this empty doohickey farm town in the middle of nowhere is so obnoxious. Fort Wayne has a huge city's downtown, a college, Three Rivers, a minor league baseball team, like seven high schools. Fort Wayne is cool. It's just called Fort Wayne, Indiana. So 2K was like, oh, let's make it this far. So I am irrationally annoyed by the portrayal of 2K in this game. But I am happy that the Mad Ants will have huge upfront coverage in a very, very popular thing.
Yeah, it's always nice to get some sort of recognition.
I feel like they just put in no effort into the Fort Wayne part of it.
Well, when anyone outside of Indiana thinks of Indiana, they just think, oh, cornfields, great. And occasional railroads.
Yeah, and they also put in a restaurant that's in Fort Wayne, apparently, that's like a real restaurant called Coney Island.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted at me and told me that's pretty cool. So some stuff they actually like wanted it to be like Fort Wayne and stuff that they're like, screw it.
They did some sort of research, just like Fort Wayne attractions, and then just saw that and then put no other research into it whatsoever.
It's literally the biggest, they literally have the biggest G League arena. And
Who knows, maybe they're just portraying it weird because like maybe they're staying somewhere where it's like that or something. It's just.
But it's no, that's the thing. It says Indiana on the sign by the bus stop.
I'm just saying, like, we're around where I live, that's kind of what it looks like sometimes.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, like, maybe he's on his way to Fort Wayne or something. I don't know. I'm just saying it's hard to tell via one trailer how they're going to portray it in the game. But, I mean, yeah, I'm trying to have some optimism here.
The early signs are not good.
You got any Pacer stuff too, or do you want to
just... I mean, my other topic I thought about before hearing about this was how they had released that gray shirt and you were worried about a gray jersey.
I'm glad that you brought that up. Another thing that a lot of people might not have seen. Man, I got to scroll back on my Twitter for this. I tweeted a lot this weekend. I apologize, everybody. So I'll try to talk slow and kind of rehash this while I look for it. So the Pacers team store announced their new clothes for this year that just opened. I don't know if the team store is actually open yet or if they're just doing sneak peeks. It looks like just sneak peeks. But they have the normal Nike Pacers shirt with like word basketball curved under the word Pacers in big block letters. They've got the same polo that McMillan wears. It's all blue with the yellow stripe and the Pacers logo on it. They got this new one that's yellow with the Pacers logo in the middle. And this is where I started to get an inkling that something might be happening. And it has these two stripes on the side of it. They look like equal signs. And the bottom is Pacers blue and the top is gray. And it's weird because they don't ever wear gray. Ever. And then their fourth shirt they put out was just a gray shirt with a giant Nike logo and a tiny Pacers thing, and it's hideous. And the prominent gray scares me because I bet the white and the yellow and the blue from last year back, but the hickory is probably gone because they've gone through red and white, and I think that they have an opening for a jersey slot now, or even two if they go icon and city, and gray Pacers jerseys might be happening. And I'm scared because I hate gray jerseys. That's all I have to say.
I was just like wondering what your thoughts were because you just said, "Oh no, they're gonna make a gray jersey, aren't they?" or something like that. And
I just think gray is ugly. Like the Cavs had that gray jersey this year, and it was terrible.
Like, what would you think would be a good idea for Pacers to do? I mean, like any sort of rebranding, like doing something cool to the floor or something of the. Bankers Life for doing certain jerseys, or is there anything?
I personally really liked the city jerseys last year with like the racetrack and the racing stripe because you know, I like they're the Pacers, like I like that they go with the car theme because that's what their team is named after. I don't know how, like, it's kind of limited, I get that, but I wish they would maybe not rebrand but go for like some kind of designs like that more. I just think that would be better. And the, you know, they got their colors fine this year. Like their jerseys were fine this year in the grand scheme of things, but I don't like the hickory because they're not red. So I hope they do something clever that's not gray. I kind of like maybe like a gold, or that one year they had the weird black white fade in the Granger years. That was kind of, they never played in it. It was fake, but they still, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What would you want to see?
That's a really tough one. I mean, I think it would be cool, like, doing, like, kind of, like, a shout-out to the Colts or something. Not necessarily, like, that blue, but, like, have some sort of, like, horseshoe or something on it. That would be kind of cool, just saying, like, this is our city, this is our team and the other big league and stuff. Or just, like, some sort of Indiana theme, like, that isn't necessarily the racing stripes and stuff.
Which that would be cool. I would be fine with that, too. No, I'd be fine with a Colts, like a Colts blue, if they went that way. That'd be cool. I wish they did more NFL, NBA crossover stuff. They had that picture of Vic at the Colts game last year. He looked good in that blue.
Yeah, that's funny. I grew up watching Vic play at IU and stuff, and so being here is the best.
Good. That's good to hear. The alma mater, the greatest school ever. All right, man. Plug your Twitter, and then we'll get you out of here.
I mean, I don't necessarily need to because I don't really tweet that much. What I do is just tweeting at you. So, and you already brought it up at the front. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, I mean, he's going to probably ask me that, but there's honestly no really reason to because I'm not like tweeting like there's other guys on the fan show who are like, yeah, I follow the Colts or I follow the Pacers and this and stuff. I just tweet at you most of the time.
You do more retweeting than your own tweeting. That is true.
Yeah, for sure. I really don't have many original ideas.
Well, that was
fun. When you're asking me about the jersey and stuff, I had to do a little thinking.
Well, if you want to see a cute dog in a cover photo, at least go check out AJ Reese 1313.
Yep.
Got that for a plug. All right, man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
No problem. Glad we could work it out.
All right, guys. One more for this episode because we need to have four to balance out only having two on the last fan show. This one's cool because it's our farthest proximity fan show guest, I think, to the Pacers home court that we've ever had. Nicholas DeJuan at DeJuan8 underscore. You'll hear where he is from momentarily. But me and Nick actually had a tiny bit of technical difficulties figuring out how to get in the same chat the way I usually record and work with him. So we had to use something else, which splits it into two tracks. And when I merged them together, it wasn't perfect. So there's a tiny kind of pause between when each of us talk and the next person talks. So just bear with us on the technical difficulties. But it's not too bad. And he's still got great stories and great fan experience. So just tune right in for one more. All right, guys. Number two for the fan show today. We have at, is it underscore DeJuan8 or DeJuan8 underscore DeJuan number 8 underscore. But he wants me to call him Nicholas. So Nicholas, man, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I am good. I am learning new recording software because technical difficulties are kicking my butt today. But this is a fan show. This isn't about me. This is about you. And I want to know how you became a Pacers fan.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for having me on, first off.
Yeah, no problem.
And I've been a fan pretty much my whole life. I can't recall exactly which game it was, but like in 93, I just remember seeing Reggie like light it up. And I can't remember who they were playing, but I know my dad was from Chicago, so everybody was a Bulls fan. So it might have actually been a Pacers versus Bulls game, but... I just remember seeing Reggie light it up, and I've been a Pacer fan pretty much ever since.
Yeah, Reggie was quite the treat. I don't know if we'll ever have an athlete like that in Indy. Are you from Indianapolis? Are you there now as well?
I am not. I'm not from Indy. I'm actually – my dad was in the Navy, so we moved around a lot. But I call Louisiana home, and live in Georgia currently. But I actually got to visit a – got to go to a couple of Pacer games in Indiana the past couple of years. Oh, nice. So it's pretty good.
That is fun. There, Banker's life is a hoop, but I feel like we won't have another guy like Reggie who just stays his whole career like ever again.
Yeah, not this day and age, not with the contracts and the 1-1 contracts and the new max CBA and everything like that. Yeah, I doubt it happens ever again.
Yeah, we were really blessed with that. I'm glad people are fans because of him. He really changed everything. It's crazy that back in the day, people wanted to draft Steve Alford instead of Reggie Miller. Steve Alford did not have any NBA.
Yeah, at least his son got to be a Pacer for a little bit.
Does summer league count? Do you think that counts?
I would count it because you get the jerseys and the shorts and, you know, you get your name on the back and all that. So you could say you were a Pacer for like a month or two and...
I want to try out for like a G League team and then say I was in the G League.
Good luck. you probably should try the JBA, the Lonzo LeVar Ball League or whatever.
I read that they're not paying those dudes. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw. I forgot the kid's name, but I saw he said he wasn't getting reimbursed for like getting his bags checked or whatever.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. I hear a lot of people are trying to sue him these days. So,
I would too. Yeah, I would never play because I'm not good enough, but I think it'd be fun. That is true. I guess if you play in summer league accounts. So Bryce Alford completing the Steve Alford Pacer cycle from the Reggie days. So you have since 93. That's before I was even alive. So you might have some good ones here. Do you have a favorite couple of memories as a fan of the team?
The Reggie push off on Jordan was always great. probably the good moments I could say here recently is when I got to visit the games, got to go to Indiana. I'd like to say that my first game was actually the Lance return game against Toronto. It was a Paul George bobblehead night, but since Paul George doesn't love us anymore, I chose to call it Lance Return Night, and I got to sit, you know, a couple of rows behind the Pacer bench and got to see Lance check in and make that layup, and DeMar and Kyle Lowry watch them cry a little bit. but aside from that, I did get to go to the game where they actually played the Hawks, and I sat like right in the corner right next to the players where they walk in and out. And I actually got a shirt signed by Oladipo.
So,
oh wow,
that's probably one of my best moments to date.
Was that in Atlanta this year?
No, I went. They were playing Atlanta. It was in Indy. I do go to the games when they come out here, though. I go to both games and I sit fairly close. I actually sat courtside when they came here to Atlanta when they got blown out the last time, and I took pictures.
Oh, like by Christmas? Yeah.
Yeah, I took pictures with Kojo and Lance and Darren Collison, and I actually took a picture with Miles Turner as well.
There you go.
Yeah,
yeah. The Lance return game is a funny one to be your first game, and I think my favorite revisionist moment for that game is when he hits the layup at the end, and Corey Joseph is the first guy to run for his head and just be screaming at him at midcourt, and then he's on the team the next year, and they're like best friends, and they play like 20 minutes a game together.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember recording that, and then you know I was all hyped because I was hyped to see Lance back. And, you know, watching him lay that ball up, I watched the recording and I bust out laughing every time I saw it. So
I still laugh too. And it was so long ago.
Yeah.
Oh man. Good times. I think when he comes back, with a Lakers jersey on, it's going to be quite a riot of a day.
Yeah. I would love to see go to that game, but those tickets are going to be outrageous because of old LeBron James.
LeBron, Lonzo, and Lance all back at the same time is going to be one expensive game, yeah, that's for sure.
It's going to be very expensive.
All right, time for the hardest part of the show, for the fan part. I like to make you tell me what you want to talk about, and then we talk about it.
One thing I kind of wanted to touch on was the free agency for next year. I see a lot of stuff going on, or you know, I think Pacers Twitter tends to overreact to a lot of stuff.
No, really?
So when we see names like Klay Thompson and Jimmy Butler, who has a twin on the Pacers team already, but you see those names and we get hype and we see how much money we got. But I just want to kind of touch on it a little bit and tell fans to kind of just, you know, just sit tight. Just remember that, you know, the Pacers aren't known to make a whole lot of big moves like that. But I am more of a Tobias Harris kind of guy. I like him.
Yes.
I think we could like afford a combination of maybe him and maybe like Chris Middleton or Kemba Walker. If we can get a combination of those two guys with retaining maybe Miles, I kind of like that look going forward.
Yeah, so for me, I agree with you, first of all, that getting the big fish is going to be really hard, especially because they're bidding against the Lakers, right? The Lakers are also going to be going after Klay and Kawhi and Jimmy, and like, you can't beat the Lakers if you're the Pacers. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And they just don't historically grab the big fish. They get them in the draft or in trades. So it's going to be very hard to get those guys. I mean, obviously, it would be awesome to do so. But I'm with you that it makes more sense to go for that second tier of guy and try to get two of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the move. And I've always been Tobias Harris, Chris Middleton duo has been my duo. But I like the Kemba addition there. I think Kemba's market's going to be very interesting next summer because he's short and doesn't play any defense at all. And I'm not sure what Charlotte's going to try to do. So he might not have as much of a market as he thinks he's going to have. And he could be had for cheap. Another thing, too, is like, they're going to have all this money, but that's because three of their best six or four of their best six players are free agents. Like, that's bad. That doesn't really mean you have money. That just means you have a lot of players not on the team. So throwing it all to like one Jimmy Butler kind of guy means, okay, now you have a star, but you have like no money to fill up the rest of the rotation. So I don't know how I agree with you that I think going for more than one guy is the move there.
Yeah. I definitely understand you when you say we going to compete against the Lakers. I kind of think we beat them out in a Tyreek Evans sweepstakes a little bit because he went to LA and he didn't sign. And I kind of felt like we were going to seal the deal with him after he left there. And then they offered Rondo that $9 million and he took it. Well, I said, you know, we pretty much have Tyreek on lock. So I think we kind of would get players, like you said, that way and through trade. That's pretty much our go-to. I don't think, you know, we tend to make a big splash a lot of the times. So go ahead.
Tyreek's like the best free agent they've gotten. And a while. I mean, they traded for Thad. Tyreek's better than anybody they signed the last two or three summers. It's been a while since they've gotten a guy as good as him on the free agent market. Right.
How long do you think he lasts, though? Like, you think he can maybe play like 60 games this year, possibly re-sign, or does that depend on how far the Pacers make it, you know, say second, third round of the playoffs?
So the most they could offer him next summer, something like $14.4 million and retaining his free agent rights. So if he has a really good year, it's going to be hard to keep him. But if he just kind of meets expectations, I think they could try to bring him back on that deal. I don't think that's crazy money for him, especially if he meets expectations. But I think they went with a one-year deal with the intention of not bringing him back, because given how good he was last year, I feel like teams were offering more than 1 year. So I feel like he took the 1 year for $12 million, because it was the most he could get in 1 year. And I think he wants to be a free agent too, to see what options he has. So I don't really foresee it being more than 1 year, but you know what? I've been proved wrong a million times on those before. Yeah.
That's why I think we kind of got a shot at a guy like Kemba to come back and, or to come in and be that point guard. And we definitely need like a stretch four that can actually shoot, because I love that, but I don't think we'll be able to get him for cheap next year unless Indy goes pretty far. But I just would love to see them retain guys like Bojan and hopefully that going forward, while also getting guys, you know, like we said, like Kemba or Tobias or Chris Middleton. Another guy that I think kind of fits in, I don't know if he's that good of a shooter for my liking, but I think Kent Bazemore probably could be a guy that would fit the timeline with Victor Oladipo a little bit. What do you think?
I like Bazemore. I like that he can defend wings, which no one else on this team can do very well. I don't like that they would have to pay him $18 million next year to get him, because he has 2 years left on his deal right now, and that's kind of yucky. But, the Hawks buy everybody out, so maybe they could just buy him out, and he could come over here. I do like Kent Bazemore. I think he is underrated. I mean, he was really important to those Hawks teams that were really good and won 60 or whatever games. But last year, it seemed like he was less impactful just because the team was bad, and he really has a winning impact, so it's hard to see what he does when this team is not good around him. So I think he could be a good fit at the three, and he can play the four, so... I do like the Bazemore fit. It's just hard to acquire him, given how much he's making.
Was a bit absurd.
A bit is.
I guess another thing I wanted to mention was I wanted to talk about the draft, and I guess Aaron Holiday. I like Aaron Holiday. I think he has a potential to be, you know, a good point guard. I don't know if he's a long term solution though. Like, I don't know if he'll be like a Kemba, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they see him as, hey, is that scoring point guard? And me personally, I kind of like bigger guards, especially at the point. So like a Landry Shamet to me, or like Jalen Brunson is not a big point guard, but I think to me, I feel more NBA point guard coming from him as opposed to Holiday. Now, what do you think about that?
Me too. Jalen Brunson was my guy the whole draft. I really wanted him to pick him at 23. I liked Shamit's workout. He was a nice dude, but I didn't know a ton about how good he was. I do agree with your size thing, though. I've said this on the show before. I don't think you should ever draft somebody shorter than me, and Aaron Holiday is definitely shorter than me. Darren Collison is listed by the Pacers as 6'1", and I've stood next to him. I'm taller than him, and I am not 6'1". So I imagine that I'm going to be quite a bit taller than Aaron Holiday, if we're being honest. And that can only hurt him. Like, the only good 6 foot tall defender in the entire NBA is Chris Paul, maybe Kyle Lowry, and Fred VanVleet, I guess. Toronto has a couple of those guys. But they're hard to find. You know, most short guys are just bad on defense. They're just too hindered by being short, even if they're really fast. And that's going to hurt Holiday a ton. And I like what you said just about the comps and the draft, because like Shamit can shoot pretty well too, which is almost as good as Holiday. Like Brunson can shoot pretty well too, probably close to as good as Holiday, and they could be better at other things, which is why I like them more. Because I don't know what Holiday's second dominant skill is going to be, if he's ever going to be a contributor. So Yeah, I'm kind of worried about that pick too. But if his shooting's as good as it was in college, like if he shoots over 40% from three, then none of it will matter.
Do you think that, like, hey, after year two, if we don't see flashes of what he can be, do we trade him off or just not renew the contract?
I think you got to give every rookie 3 years. Like, I'm going to give TJ Leaf 2 more years, even though that's probably a stupid idea. I just think you have to try to let him develop. So he gets – I mean, Holiday's going to be fine just because he can shoot. But you got to give him at least 3 years to see what they can do.
I was on the TJ Leaf train up until summer league, and then I was like, oh, my God.
You made it far than a lot of people. I'll give you.
I don't know if it was because of the coaching or whatever, but I just felt like TJ could take it up a notch, and I was like, okay, I could believe in him at the stretch four. But then the Kylo Quinn thing happened, and I was like, okay, so TJ may not get as much time as he as he probably could use to show improvement. Maybe he needs to take some yoga with Miles Turner. We don't know. But also, I believe in – but I am on the Alize Johnson train since we were talking about draft. And
I'm the conductor.
Is because to me, I don't know if it was just me, but during summer league, it looked like he played carefree. Now, he had some turnovers here and there or did some things like – or dribbled only with his right hand. Some things that you kind of want him to improve on, but I felt like – he played carefree, and he was kind of more like a young Thad Young, if that makes sense. He crashed the boards. I called him a glass eater because he just crashed the boards, gets puts backs, all those kind of things. He does the intangibles. So I think going forward, he would be a great replacement for Thad, especially if he can improve his jump shot.
Yeah, he's going to be bad this year because he's a rookie, but I do like him, actually, long-term. He had a really good summer league to me as well. And, like, those dudes who try hard in summer league and don't try to score a ton, just I feel like they just get it, you know? Like all the dudes in summer league are trying to prove that they can score on an NBA level and they're just shooting too much. But Alize was all, like you said, he's rebounding and, you know, doing all the nitty-gritty stuff. Like, he just gets it. I'm excited for him. I think he's going to be good.
About 3 years, so. Hopefully everything lines up.
Yeah. Give him the time. All right, man. Where can people follow you on Twitter? But by the way, he is on private. It was pretty hard for me to find that he wanted to come on the show.
On Twitter, it is Dejuan8_. That's Dejuan, the number 8, and then underscore.
Awesome. All right. Good follow, too. Always making fun of me when I say stupid stuff.
I don't know if you.
You always can.
I recently started following this is the perfect place called Born Ready to Podcast. I don't know if you follow them or not, but they actually have had Eddie Gill on recently, Chris Denari. Those are some cool guys. I follow them. They have some decent podcasts as well. So I just want to give them a shout out, tell them thanks for the follow. And they actually sent me a free autographed Lance poster, so kind of like that. So shout out to them.
Wow, cool. Well, we got it, Mike.
All right, thanks.
We
got
to get on the autographs. I like and I like the shout out. All right, man, I appreciate it. Not quite sure how to feel about Nick closing out his segment, shouting out another Pacers podcast. No, it's all cool. Born Ready to Pods had some awesome guests on. They've been doing a great job. So. Continue to listen to us, but if you want to listen to Chris Denari, you know, pop on over and listen to what they've got going on recently. But thank you guys for tuning in to Fan Show number 3 of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Remember, we're probably not going to do another one of these unless you tweet at us like super soon, like today or tomorrow. This is pretty much our last call if you're interested. If not, thank you all for tuning into these. I hope you enjoy them. I hope you enjoy hearing some fan perspectives. Have a great Wednesday, and we'll see you all for our weekly show next week.